Good morning, church family. What a blessing it is to be here on God's holy day and to have praises and thankfulness of God's faithfulness to us. And we pray that we be faithful to Him. And I've been thinking about this week what a blessing it has been for me to have prayer partners. I've been praying with two individuals throughout the day and in the evening, and another individual in the morning. And what an opportunity it is to see the Lord working in people's lives as we pray for them. And what an encouragement it is to see the love of Christ fill the person's life as they pray for guidance and for direction in their life. And to see the encouragement that they've received from others praying for them, and seeing the joy that comes from knowing God's truth that sets us free from the bondage of sin, which we all... Okay, thank you. And so it's been a really great week for me, and I want to encourage each one of you, if you have the opportunity to find a prayer partner, to do that, because we're living in a time where it's much needed, because we're going to have things happening to us that we have never experienced before or will ever experience. And so we need to be close together in prayer, encourage one another to be faithful, because the devil's out there like a roaring lion to devour each one of us. He don't care what happens to us as long as we're not close to Jesus. And so our goal is to focus on Him by beholding to become change. And if you want to change the way you are, look at Jesus. Jesus has all the attributes that we need. He's our prime example of how we should live, how we should react with others, how we should talk, and how we pray and worship. It's all in Jesus, and He can show you how to do it. And just look at His example, His long-suffering with us, and we need to be long-suffering with others in our life, and being faithful to pray for them, to give them encouragement, because we all need encouragement. The message I came up with today is God's Word, and it was something I thought about for quite a while ago, and I see Matt brought it up today, John 3:16, and we all know that one. We know 2 Timothy 3:16, Colossians 3:16, and I thought, what kind of message I could give if I can bring up all the chapters 3:16 in the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. It'd be too long, and we wouldn't be here till way after hours. But so I put together a message using God's Word, and that's why I entitled it God's Word, because it is God's Word. It's not my words. It's all His. And just bear with me as I read to you the message that God want me to share with you. And may you be blessed by it. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, just remember, we're going to be only in chapter 3 throughout the whole New Testament. And so if you get lost, just go to chapter 3, and you'll find us somewhere in there. And I'm going to use some of the verses before and after, and sometimes I'll even use a whole story to bring out the point that verse 16 is trying to bring out. So bear with me as the Lord blesses, and I ask that we bow our heads as we ask God's blessing. Gracious Father, this is Your Word, and I just pray that You give me the strength and the words and the insight to say what You want me to say. Bring honor and glory to Your name through the words that You have spoken to us in Your Holy Bible, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start in verse 4 of Luke chapter 3. It is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley be filled, every mountain and mountain bring low. Crooked places will be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God." Now, verse 16. 15. Now, as the people were expecting and all reasoned in their hearts about John whether he was Christ or not, John answered and said to all, "Indeed, I baptize with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." So we find that John the Baptist is making the pathway for the Messiah to come, as we too today are preparing for the Messiah to come in these days. Let's go to Matthew 3. I think you're getting the hang of it, right? Matthew 3. If you're there, say amen. Okay. And starting in verse 13, Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it's fitting for us to fill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Verse 16, then when he was baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And suddenly the voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." This started Jesus' ministry as he went about doing good to those he met. And let's go to Mark chapter 3, and we find that Jesus puts together a group of companions that he's going to have, and we can start in verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might be sent them out to preach and have power to heal the sickness and to cast out demons. Simon, whom he gave the name Peter, and if you go down the list, we have James and John, and we have Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon of the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. These are all the ones that Jesus had with him as companions to work with him at sharing the gospel. Let's go to John chapter 3. Now, this is a story of a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and came from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with them." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said, "Most certainly I say unto you, unless a man is born water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is which is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear it and the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes and goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And then Jesus said to him, "Are you a teacher of the Israelites and you don't know these things? Most surely I say unto you, we speak of things we know and testify and have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you things, heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but the one who came from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And whatsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but who does not believe in him is condemned already, because they do not believe that the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now let's go to Acts chapter 3, and we'll have another story here. We find that Peter and John went up together to the temple around the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked for alms. And he fixed his eyes on him with John and Peter and said, "Look at us." So he gave his attention, expecting something to receive from them. Peter said to them, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood, and walked, entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew this was he that was sitting begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now this lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them on the porch, which is called Solomon's, was greatly amazed. So when Peter saw this, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look intently at us as if though our own power and godliness had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up to and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And this name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in his presence to you all. Verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord." Let's go to Romans. What chapter? Hey, you're getting the hang of it. Okay, this is our sin condition before we become a Christian. Starting in verse 9, Paul says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both the Jews and the Greeks that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who do good, no, not one. Their throats are like open tombs. Their tongues are like to practice deceit. And the poison of hyssop, which is a snake, is under their lips. Those mouths are full with cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. 16. Destruction and ministry are in their way, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says that who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God." Verse 24, "Being justified freely by the grace through the redemption of that is in Christ Jesus." Now let's go to 1 Corinthians and verse 16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If you defile the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul admonishes us to pray for peace. And also, it says in verse 16, Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and there where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, behold as in a mirror the glory of God, with being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now Galatians 3, starting in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, therefore knowing that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seeds were the promise made. He doesn't say, and to the seeds and as of many, but as one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Verse 22. But the scripture has confined all are under sin, and the promise by faith in Jesus might be made and given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard by the law, kept for the faith which would be afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith had come, we no longer under the tutor, for we all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither there is slave or free, neither there is male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he might grant you according to his riches and his glory to be strengthened with might throughout his spirit within inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend all spiritual, all the saints, that which is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him is able to exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask or think, according to the power and workings in us. To him to be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, for now, forever and forever. Amen." Philippians, starting in verse 13. "Brethren, do not count yourself, I don't count myself to have upper hand, but one thing I do, I forget those things which is behind me and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, as many as you are mature, have this mind, and if anyone asks or think of otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules and let us be of the same mind. Brother, join in following my example, and note that those also walked, as you have been us for a pattern. For many walk, whom I have already told you often, and now you have been in weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, those ends of their destructions, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he will transform our lowly bodies, that they may be transformed into his glorious body, according to the working in which he was able to even to subdue all things to himself." Colossians 3, starting in verse 14. "Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called into one body, and be thankful. 16. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." First Thessalonians don't have 16 verses, so we'll go to Second Thessalonians. And this is where Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace, and always in every way the Lord be with you. First Timothy, starting in verse 16. Without controversy, and great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up in glory. And then 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. Know not this, that in last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blaspheming, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than the love of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of, and from such people turn away. In verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But the evil men and imposters will grow worse, even deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And who from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scriptures are given inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped to do every good work. That's our job, is doing the good work. There's nothing in Titus, nothing in Philemon, but we'll go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, and if we hold fast in the beginning of our confidence and steadfast to the end, while it's said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion. Verse 16, for who have heard rebellion? Indeed, was it not those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Whom did he was angry with for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And whom did he swear he would not enter their rest, but those who did not obey? So we see that those who do not enter into rest because of unbelief. Now we go to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show by good conduct that the works they are done is in meek and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom is not ascended from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion of every evil things are there. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure and peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown by peace by those who make peace. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be one of mine, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on all contrary, blessings, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit the blessings. For those who live a life and see good days, let them refrain from their tongues of evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn from their evil ways and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And to whom is he who is able to harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense for anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as an evildoer, and that they reveal you good works conduct in Christ, may be ashamed. For it is better that it should be the will of God to suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. For Christ, who suffered once for sin, and just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 2 Peter, starting in verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But that day the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will be melted with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heaven and earth, which in righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent. Be found by him in peace, without spot or blemish. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all the epistles, speaking of things, of those things which sometimes are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also with the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, be aware lest you should fall from your own steadfast, being led away by the errors of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. First John 3 and verse 13. Do not marvel, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because of the love of the brethren. He that does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer will inherit life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay our life down for our brethren. But whoever has world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does this love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in deed and truth. There's nothing in John, 2 John or 3 John or in Jude, and we're now in Revelation, 3rd chapter, verse 14. And now to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saying are amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and became wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chase. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and I will open the door, and will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down at my Father's throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As I was going through this study, there were some questions I would ask if this message revealed Jesus as Savior. Does this message tell us about being born again to a new life? Does the Scriptures reveal truth? Does this message reveal our sin condition? Does this message reveal our suffering and Jesus' suffering? Does this message reveal our witness and our work? Does this message reveal the promises of God? Does this message reveal love for others? Does this message reveal the faith that we need to have to be pleasing to God? Does this message reveal the new heaven and earth that we once one day will have? And most of all, does this reveal God's love towards us? Our closing song is 272, Give Me the Bible.